And that's the same that we want
about
what we had this afternoon.
I'd like to continue the theme a little. Well, it's actually turning to PTI,
as our brother was saying,
before our brother drew our attention to them this afternoon. But I'm sure this is the desire of our hearts, that we should be attracted to the Lord.
Thy beauty, glory,
thy holy, precious worth, surpassing far the deepest joys on earth, attract our hearts. Our joy,
thy constant love,
thyself our object in those things above. Well, we have in the life of Jesus, we are reminded many examples
of those who were
wholly devoted to him,
prepared to follow him
in his rejection.
And
Peter is an outstanding example,
beautiful example, because
there was
no reason,
no motive, as it were,
for him to follow
David, except, of course,
that great motive
of his love for David.
And
the Lord Jesus does value
our love to him.
And we need to challenge our hearts in these days
as to whether
he is as precious to us
as he should be,
as he deserves to be,
or has he not
loved us and given himself for us.
I thought that our dear brother was speaking this afternoon.
I thought of it today as being one of those not mentioned by name, perhaps,
in the Roll of Honour,
in the Hebrews, but he's included,
I'm sure, amongst those who
all died in faith,
not having received the promises, but having seen the God
of, but persuaded of them, and embraced
them, and confessed that they were
strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things
declare plainly
that they see the country. And truly,
if they had been mindful
of that country from which they came out,
they might have had opportunity
to have returned.
But if I had every encouragement upon that,
David tried to persuade him, didn't he?
He said, return thou
to thy place and abide
with the king, for thou art a stranger
and an exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday,
should I this day
make thee go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither I may,
return thou
and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee.
Well, what was very over him?
But a place of
reproach
and suffering. What had he to offer him?
But
Ittai's heart was centered on David.
And he could make that nothing reply.
As the Lord liveth, and as my Lord the King liveth,
surely in what place
my Lord the King shall be, whether in death or life,
there also
will I serve him be.
I desire no other place, he says,
but to be with you. Wherever you go, I'll go.
I shan't be satisfied
unless I am with thee,
the king.
And it says, well, what could David say to him but go?
Go and pass over.
Can't turn me back, Isaiah.
I love your response and your desire.
I appreciate your loyalty,
your devotion, he says.
Go on, he says. And
so he was privileged to share
David's rejection.
You and I are privileged too, aren't we?
To share reproach and rejection
with our Lord,
our absent and rejected
Lord and Saviour,
as one day, if we suffer with him,
we shall also reign with him.
We can look across the difficulties of the wilderness
and we can see the glory of the kingdom
shining before us.
And so it says here,
you see, very beautifully, that
And all the country went
with a merry voice, and all the people passed over her. Yes,
they were following Jesus
in his rejection. Now, I don't wish to say much
here, but
I thought there are others mentioned, as we were reminded, but
one that rather appeals to me,
one of the characters that I'm sure David appreciated,
was
Barzillai, in the second chapter of Samuel, and chapter 17, we read of
Pentecost,
when David was come to Mahanaim,
the son of Nahash,
of Rabbah, of the children of Ammon,
and Mecca, the son of Amiel,
the Lady Bar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite,
of Gilead.
What did they do? Well, Barzillai and his friends, they brought beads and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pomace and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kine.
What for?
For David. And for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. They brought all that they had. It may not have been a great deal by normal standards, but I'm sure it was all that they possessed, and they laid it, as it were, at the feet of David, because they wished to support him, and they wished to share in his rejection and reproach. Now, the New Testament reminds us that we are not our own. We have been bought with a price, and all that we have doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the one who's given it to us. We are but stewards to hold it for him and to use it for him. What a challenge to our hearts. Are we using what the Lord has given us for our own pleasure and aggrandizement? Or are we using it to assist, as it were, the Lord's people? This is what is brought out here. David and his people were encouraged by the gifts that were laid at their feet. And in the 19th chapter of the same book, we have a further reference to the Barzillai, I think. And it says in verse 39, and all the people went over Jordan, and when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned unto his own place. Oh, David appreciated the loyalty of Barzillai. And the Lord takes notice, you know, of any little service we may be privileged to do for him, if it springs out of devotion to him. He reads our hearts. He knows all about us. And there's a striking verse, if I can find the Psalm. It's rather struck me recently. I'll just read it to you. It says, the Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born near. I know it refers to Israel, but what a wonderful thing that the Lord is counting his people. He knows them individually. He doesn't miss one out. He takes account of each one. And he's writing up the people. What a wonderful thought that is. God is writing up you and me. What is he putting to our account, as it were? How solemn, yet how exercised we should be, that what the Lord is counting and what he is writing up, as it were, in his book, is something to our credit, to his glory. The Lord is counting up his people, and he is writing them up, as the psalmist says. Let us remember that the Lord is taking account of his people, even in the day of his rejection. Now, there's another reference to Basilia in 1st Book of Kings, and I think it's the second chapter. Second of Kings, and verse 7, I think it is. David is instructing his captains, and he says, "Show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai the Gileadite, and let them be of those that eat at my table. For so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom, thy brother." David never forgot how Barzillai was prepared to come to him, to identify himself with him, and to show kindness to him in that day. And now he says, "You remember Barzillai and show kindness unto him, and let him eat my table." Reminds us of another one who was loyal to David, wasn't it? Mephibosheth. He was the object of David's kindness. David sought him out. The son of Jonathan that was lame on both knees, and he was brought into the king's palace, and he sat down at his table, and he was given a place there as one of the king's sons. To think that you and I, unworthy creatures as we are by nature, that God has taken us up out of the degradation and ruin in which we were by nature, and has associated us with Christ, seated us at his table, so that we can enjoy fellowship one with another as his children, as his sons, and to be linked up with the Lord Jesus. We sang one of our hymns that, "Lord Jesus, are we one with thee?" What a privilege it is to think that we are indeed one with him. Well, now, just to refer briefly to Mephibosheth, remember how he was slandered by Ziba, but he remained true and faithful to David. And it says in verse 24 of 2 Samuel and 19th chapter, "Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes, from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace." He couldn't find a resting place. He couldn't find anywhere that he could find any enjoyment in nature. It must be to serve the king. And so he says here, I don't want to stop to read it all, but we know the story, how he was ready to follow David to the utmost of his ability, and how David appreciated it, because he had experienced the grace, the kindness of David, his master, the Lord, the King. And we, have we not experienced the wonderful grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Have we not proved his love that saved our souls, his love that preserves us day by day and leads us on, and a love that will never be satisfied until he has us at home with himself in glory? May the Lord Jesus become increasingly precious to us. May his love attract our hearts. May the glory of his person so be constantly before us that our great object in life is to please him and to be ready, as it were, to serve him until by and by he causes us to be with himself.